Okay, we're going to look at something today. We know Veterans Day was just a couple days ago, and got to thinking about the idea of enduring freedom just came to my mind. So I kind of want to expound on that a little bit, what enduring freedom's all about and what it means. Freedom is very important, and we need to be able to receive it in our life and to be able to walk in it. And what I find out in my life is that sometimes it's easier to obtain something than it is to maintain it. You know what I mean? To keep it up and to keep it going. You know, we tend, I think, to get a little laxer in the things that we feel it's just a given. Just like, you know, in our marriages. You know, most people really probably don't put a lot of effort into their marriage after a while. They just think everything's going to be okay. And most of the time it is, but not all the time, is it? You know, so we go through these things, and then it just takes a little bit of effort so we can grow in our relationship and also grow in the freedom that Jesus Christ came to give us. And in our walk with the Lord, it's very important. And to me, freedom is very precious, but it's very fragile. And we live in a time where I think a lot of our freedoms are being challenged, because if we're not careful, I think that enduring freedom can turn into eroding freedom. And with many of the things we have going on in our nation right now and the things that we're being challenged with, I'm not going to preach a political message. That's not what this is about. But the idea of how important it is to walk in a level of freedom and to be able to keep it going in our life. Because if we have the revelation of what it means to be free, and it changes the way that we live our life, and we're going to break that down a little bit today. First scripture I want to look at today is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I pray for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that we just want to draw closer and closer to you. Lord, I know that you have a plan for each of our lives, Lord, and we need to be able to walk in that plan and to be able to see it manifest for your glory, Lord. It's not about us, it's about you. Lord, right now I yield to that gift that you put inside of me, Lord. I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. And Lord, I just want to give you glory with it in Jesus' name. Lord, we bind up Satan from stealing the word. And Lord, we also pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this was the Apostle Paul, very wise man. You know, he walked with God. I mean, he was so zealous for God that when he started out, he was doing it all wrong. You know, he's persecuting the church that Jesus Christ came and died for. And then, you know, he had his Damascus experience where God lighted up his life. You know what I mean? A bright light hit him and knocked him down. And then all of a sudden he got this revelation. And the closer that he got with God, God started to unroll some things to him, unravel some things, some deep revelation, you know, that he wanted to give to the churches. And one of the things that Paul majored on was the idea he was the apostle of grace. But so easy it is for us to walk in freedom, but then all of a sudden, after a little bit of the journey, you know, we can give it up and take on that yoke of slavery again. And see, that's what happens in our life. That's what we can manifest in our life, is that we kind of forget, you know, what Christ has done, in the sense that we're not experiencing it, and we think we need to help him out. We think we just got to do more. And that works righteousness mentality starts to filter into our mind. And what it does then, it changes the way that we live our life. The life that Jesus Christ, you know, came to give us. The first point I want to look at today is one that we all know, is freedom is not free. You know, man was created free in the Garden of Eden. I mean, I love the first chapter of Genesis and up in there till chapter 3, then it gets a little rough. But you know, all the things that God has given us, the idea that that God told us that we're going to have dominion. He has given us authority upon this earth, and he wants us to start walking in a level of authority and to be able to see things manifest. But then all of a sudden, you know, mankind got a little off base, and then they fell. They fell away. And that freedom was lost, and then we were in a yoke of slavery to Satan. See, sin is a heavy load that only God can carry. We have to remember that. You know, a lot of people think they need to pay for what they've done. Now, that's how it is in the legal system. You rob a bank, you go to jail. That's the way it is. But in the kingdom of God, if you sin and you repent, God forgives you. You don't have to go to jail. There is no God jail. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people think there's a God jail. And when you do something wrong, you got to go to this God jail, and you got to serve a little bit of time in the God jail until you get to come out. But no, it's just like that. As soon as you repent, you can be forgiven. And you'll be able to walk in that depth of things that He wants for us. Now, as we understand that freedom isn't totally free. It is in some ways, but somebody had to pay for it, right? Somebody had to pay for it. Freedom cost somebody something, and usually freedom usually costs many people everything. As we honored our veterans this last Thursday, you know, we kind of remember some things, you know, that they've done and the price that they paid, what many of them, you know, went, and many of them never came home because they believed in freedom so much they're willing to lay their life down. And see, that's what Jesus Christ came for us. He believed in freedom for us from slavery of sin so much that He's willing to lay His life down. And it costs somebody something. Now, how many like free shipping? Come on now, we all do, don't we? If there's a choice between two things, free shipping, yes, I'll take that one. But is it really free? Where do you think that free shipping comes from? No, it doesn't come from God. Somebody say God. No, it doesn't come from God. They have to figure it in the price somewhere else, right? Because nothing's free. It costs somebody something. And if we approach our life like that, and we understand that, you know, all the things that we've been given, we live in a blessed land. I mean, for the most part, we're still number one, amen? Amen? In my opinion, for the freedoms that we have and what we can experience, even though, like I say, the freedoms that you and I experience right now, many of them are eroding with government control and all these different things they're going to try to do. I mean, I was thinking about this. You know, I read the back of the book. I'm sure you have too, right? It talks about, you know, a one world government, and it talks about the Antichrist rising up. I mean, the only way that's going to work is if everybody buys into the globalism mindset. But just because that's the back of the book, that doesn't mean we're there yet. I still feel I need to resist that. You know, I believe in freedom. I don't believe in globalism and all these different things where we're all just one happy kumbaya factory and I'm going to let somebody in Washington, D.C. make all my decisions. No. That don't work for me. And I hope it don't work for you. No. The government has a responsibility, but that I am not their responsibility. You know, I'm responsible for my own decisions, and I think I can make a better choice than they can in a lot of things. I graduated the 12th grade, amen. You know, I've got a high school diploma. I think I do, unless I toss it, I don't remember. But anyway, it's there, it's on record somewhere. But, you know, we it's so easy to let somebody else do it. You know what I'm saying? So easy to depend on somebody else. And we got to make sure that we're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, I want my children, and if we get grandchildren, I want them to experience the same great life that I've had living in this country. And so we need to stand strong and do it. So the next verse I'd like to look at is Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And this kind of talks about the idea of condemnation. Because we need to we got to be free in our mind. If we're not free in our mind, we get in trouble. So it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so we see the important part here that we are not to live under condemnation, although some people do. But we are to live by the Spirit of life, not the law. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about the Holy Spirit. So the next point I like to see is the idea that freedom needs to be appreciated. Whatever we do not appreciate will depreciate. Whatever we do not appreciate, we'll depreciate. So we need to appreciate the things that God has given us and be so thankful for them. You know, we're heading towards Thanksgiving here. It's just coming right around the corner. And, you know, it's a great holiday. You know what I mean? You get to eat. You know, if you have food, I mean, most of you don't have food, you know, we try to help people with that. But the idea, you don't have to shell out a bunch of money for gifts and things like that because you have to. You just go there and you be with family and you practice thankfulness. Amen. Appreciation for what you have. I'm so thankful for my family. And I'm even, I don't want to say this out loud, I don't know if they're watching now, some of them, but I'm even more thankful for my church family. Amen. You know how important that is. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everything that God has given me. You know, nobody owes me anything. I don't have a gimme, gimme, gimme mindset, you know. But, you know, I'm so appreciative for the things that I have. I'm appreciative for the way that I was raised. I'm appreciative for the Bible and what it tells me and how it tells me I can live my life. To me, the Bible is not a book of no. The Bible is a book of yes, you know. When I first picked it up, it looked like no. Because I just kind of zeroed in on the things I'm not supposed to do no more, and I still wanted to do those things. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just being honest. You know, I'm not sure I want to get rid of that. But see, once I understood the concept of what it means to be in relationship, you know, how when you come into relationship with somebody, that they kind of rub off on you a little bit. And I praise God that He rubbed off on me. Amen? All those things that I thought were so important, man, I could care less about those things anymore because I got something better now. Right. I can walk in freedom. I don't have to hold my head down. I don't have to look over my shoulder all the time, wonder if something's going to get me, because it's important that I understand it. And I embrace it. I embrace that freedom that Jesus Christ has given me. I will not give it up for anything. See, what the problem is, we just can't kneel at the cross and then get up and live our life like nothing happened, though. When I knelt at the cross, when I decided to surrender, I just said, God, I really believe that you can do better at this than I can. I've tried doing things. I've tried quitting this and I've tried quitting that. I just come to you. I just come to you. And I want to follow you. And it was a love, it was love, His love, that He loved me, that when I understood just what love was all about, I thought I knew what love was. Like most of us, I thought love was a feeling. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I felt it and sometimes I didn't. But see, love is a relationship. When I really figured out how much God really cared about me, I actually read the Bible. And I found out, you know, just the love that He had for me and how far He would go to win me back. I'll be honest, I've had a pretty decent life. But I could never remember anybody in my life that went to the length that God did for my life. And once I could see that God really cared, it's so easy to follow Him. So easy to experience that. And when I did, it just opened up a whole new way of living for my life. And one of the things that really helped me, I fortunately went to a church that's similar to this one in doctrine and everything, and I was exposed to the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, however you want to do it. Some people get scared of a ghost, but I mean, I thank God for the Holy Ghost because He's the Holy Good Ghost. Amen? He's the Good Ghost. And what the Holy Spirit does is He turns everything around. He's a game changer when He comes into our life. The Spirit of God, when He comes to live inside of us and He wants to teach us and guide us, and He brings life where death was. I don't understand how He does it. He just does it. I don't understand when I read the Bible and He just brings it to life to me, but that's how powerful it is. Because what I found out is in my previous life, because I have a different life now, I've been born again. That old person's passed away. So it's not reincarnation, but my previous life, my old life, my BC days, before Christ days, I had religion. I had religion in my life. I knew about God. I mean, hey, I lived in a small town and I was experiencing some little bit of things growing up and I knew about God, but I didn't really know God. I didn't understand it. But see, what happened is when I came to the place of surrender, The Holy Spirit turned my religion into a relationship. And see, that's what He can do for each and every one of us. He can take our religion, our ideas, and make it into a relationship with God. And what happens is, you know, the big mistake I feel that many Christians make, and I don't know why, because they're different people, we have different personalities, I understand all that. But some people are just waiting to get to heaven, you know what I mean? Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be so easy then. You know, it's just so tough down here. It's hard. I know, sometimes there's battles. I get that. But I want us to see today that the freedom and the experience and the things that we that God has given us, we can have it today. We don't have to wait till we get to the end of our journey. We don't have to wait till we get way over there. We can have it right here. We can have that freedom right now. We can experience the blessings of God and the things that He has for us. You know, I was just thinking the other day, and it's dangerous when I do that, I know. But I was just amazed because I was just kind of taking inventory. Y'all ever take inventory every now and then about life? I was just thinking, man, I've had about 3 or 4 prayers answered. You know, I shot some up there, you know what I mean? I believe they were going to happen, but I never really thought much about it. But then I look back and, man, God answered this prayer. God answered that prayer. Yes. And all of a sudden, you know, I never noticed it when it really happened. I just started to look back and I go, man, God's really answered these prayers.
Amen.
I go, I shouldn't say this, but that felt weird. You know what I mean? I mean, what's God do? You know, I mean, you know, I pray because I'm supposed to. I didn't pray because I thought I was going to get it. But that's how it works sometimes. God will answer our prayers. And I'm so thankful for that. It wasn't like I actually needed that stuff. But God just poured on the gravy. You know what I'm saying? This little gravy here and there. You know, I could survive on taters, but I like the gravy. You know what I mean? I like the gravy every now and then. Just a little bit extra. So we need to see that along the way on this journey, all the different blessings that God has for us. Now lastly, I want to look at the idea of free people think differently. And that's what I want us to kind of capitalize on in our mind. Because when we're walking in freedom versus walking in bondage, we think differently. You know, I remember, you know, when I was just coming to Christ, I looked at life a lot different than after I came to Christ, okay? Because I was looking at it from a different vantage point. You know, I first started out looking at my life from the position that, you know, there might be a God and there might be a heaven and I don't want to go to hell. I mean, that was about as simple as it got. You know, so I lived my life, you know, looking at it a different way. But once I came to Christ, all of a sudden, you know, I was looking at life from a position of victory and a position of freedom. You know, all those insecurities and those inferiorities and those things that made me feel like I was inadequate, God started to take away. Because all of us probably deal with some of those. If you don't, you know, God bless you. You know, you're perfect. Amen. I'm sure your mama told you all that, you know. But I mean, most of us deal with some problems along the way. No matter how good we think we are, you know, when we lay our head down the pillow and we think, you know, man, I'm missing out here on something. I'm not quite where I need to be. But see, what happens when you come to know Christ and you start to understand those things, you know, about the idea of there's no condemnation in Christ and that the power of that forgiveness that Jesus Christ has come to give us, you know, we start to live a little bit different. You know, we start to live, you know, as a free person, as a free man or a free woman, and we don't have to hold our head down, you know, in any situation. See, I want you to write this down and think about it. Nothing the devil fears worse than a godly Christian with an attitude. Amen? And I'm talking about a godly attitude. An attitude that says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has called me to be the head and not the tail. Amen? God is calling me to walk in victory and not in defeat. Yes, I know battles come. I don't maybe win every battle, but I won the war. Amen? So that's how we got to look at life. You know, things ain't going to go our way all the time. But if we just hold on to the idea of what it means to be a Christian and the authority that we have. See, knowing that we're forgiven helps us to walk in freedom. So I purposely don't go out and try to sin against God, you know. But I do know this, I will not let the devil bring condemnation to my mind. I know that. That's where this is where it all, the mind is crazy, ain't it? You know, there's just so much going on up there. Sometimes there's nothing, I know. But I mean, for the most part, you know, them thoughts just come in there, and how we manage that. What thought, you know, like our computer, you know, I love computers because I can't write. You know, I don't speak English hardly. I speak American, but my handwriting's even worse than, you know, all that. So I love to manage stuff in folders on my computer, okay? I keep stuff on folders, you know. This is a folder about leadership. This is a folder about, you know, small groups or different things for the church or health or stuff like that. So when I see something I really like, I put it in the right folder, okay? Now, we need to do that with our mind. When thoughts come into our mind, we got to put them in the right folder, okay? Some of those thoughts go in the circle folder, you know what I mean? The trash can. When the enemy comes in and tells you you can't, when the enemy comes in and tells you you're not good enough, that's where they go. But if you don't put them in the right folder, they're going to stay in there. They're going to stay up in there, floating around, knocking around up there. Always holding you back. Always making you feel that you're not that you're inadequate. That you can't make it. And see, like I said, the thing the devil fears worst is a godly Christian with an attitude. When we know who we are and what we have and where we're going. And see, that's what we need to see. See, if we're free people, free people set other people free. But if we walk in bondage, you know, we're trying to hold everybody back. Just simple as that. We don't want nobody else getting ahead of us. See, I'm not intimidated when somebody gets blessed. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't intimidate you either. You know, if you see somebody get blessed, you should rejoice. Amen. Not think, well, why didn't God bless me? See, if that's your first attitude, you got some things floating around up there in the wrong folder. You know what I'm saying? You got some dominating thoughts that are kind of messing you up. Because if you walk in jealousy and you walk in all these different things, it's just gonna hinder us. It's gonna hold us back. So we rejoice with other people, and we start to see, you know, how them things start to flow together. Okay, now, you know, idea about sin, you know. My main thing is I know I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife. She'll probably tell you all about it. But my kids won't. I swore them the secrecy, I think. But anyway, my wife's a little harder to handle sometimes. But, you know, I never want to bow my knee to sin again. Do you know what that's like? Have you ever bowed your knee to sin? I hate that. But I've decided I don't want to bow my knee. See, I may trip over sin, but I'll never bow my knee again. I will never willfully want to sin against God. Oh, yes, I may stumble, but I never want to do anything to hurt my Heavenly Father and to bring shame to the body of Christ. Now, I want to tell about a story in the Old Testament found in Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they're in the book of Daniel, and, you know, Daniel was kind of the main character, as you know. He's quite a prophet and able to, you know, predict things and all that. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were kind of his buddies. And for whatever reason, Daniel's not in this story. I don't know why, where he's at or what he's doing. But what happened, Nebuchadnezzar kind of thought, he was all that, you know what I mean? I mean, he was a definite dictator, had won a lot of wars, accumulated a lot of land, so he thought kind of got an attitude there, a bad attitude. So he set up a big idol, and that idol was like 90 feet tall and like 9 foot wide, give or take. And everybody was going to have to bow to that idol. If you don't bow to the idol, you die. Now, in the first part of Daniel, they had gotten favor because they were supposed to eat the king's food and all this stuff, sacrificed to idols, and they didn't want to do it. So God, you know, they did a test and God was blessed them. So, you know, even though they were living in captivity, shall we say, because they weren't in Israel no more, they had been picked up, taken to another country, but yet God's hand was upon them. They were being blessed, okay? Now, they were being so blessed that people kind of got jealous about them, you know, the rest of them. So when everybody bowed down to this idol, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were still standing. Could you see a picture of that? Hundreds of people all bowing to this idol, and you got three people standing there, not going to bow. You know what I mean? They wouldn't bow. And that's kind of where it's at. They stood against their nation, shall we say. They stood against the nation, the leadership at that time. And that's what we're going to see. And so Nebuchadnezzar got irritated. I mean, he was mad. And he said, I'm going to give you another chance. If you'll bow, you won't burn, is what he said. So in Daniel 3:17 and 18, it says, if it be so, and this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replying back to him, if it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. Now, what would you do if you had a bow or burn moment? You know what I mean? You know, we may have that coming up. I mean, they're trying to, you know, I'll just put it out. The president's telling people what they have to do. It goes against, you know, my opinion, the Constitution. You know, taking people's rights away. So some people have been faced, you know, with lose your job or, you know, bow. So those bow or burn moments, and like I say, however you feel on things, it's fine. You know, but, you know, we can still walk in freedom while in the fire, and that's kind of how these three saw it. You know, they said, you know, most of us, if we was really, my God's going to deliver me, bless God, I'm not going in that fire. Oh, I thank God for my miracle. Well, they kind of prayed that way, I'm sure, too, but they also said, but even if God doesn't show up the way that I want him to, I'm not going to bow. I will not give in. I will not bow to that idol. I will not bow to you, King, because I serve God and not you. And that's where they were with it. See, that's a predetermined decision that they had made. They knew, according to their religion, they could not bow to any other gods. They knew that was no-no. So they had already predetermined in their mind that I'm not going to bow no matter what. Even if it works out the way I want it, or doesn't work out the way I want it, I'm not going to do it. So what happened then is that the king was furious, and he stoked the fire more, and it was hotter, and they had him tied up. They tied him up, and then the people, some of his best people in his army, picked him up, carried him up to the furnace, and threw him in. And the fire was so hot that the ones who threw him in died because of the heat. Dusty and I kind of know what that's like. We burned a couple boxes here yesterday, and you know, bless God, we kept stepping back. You know, boxes get real hot. I mean, I was just thinking about this message. You know, I mean, that's hot. But what I want to say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were freer in the fire than those who threw them in the fire. Because the story goes on, and in Daniel 3:25 and 26, it says, and he said, you know, look. And this is Nebuchadnezzar saying, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God's. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of the fire. Amen. Now, that's a wild story. I mean, you threw three in, and all of a sudden there's four. Where'd that fourth person come from? Who was the fourth person? Well, I believe it was God, Jesus, you know, the fourth man in the fire. And see, when we go through life sometimes, we need that. See, what I found out in my life, if I won't bow, the fourth man in the fire shows up in my life. Amen? That fourth man in the fire. And what I know is if we don't bow, we won't burn. If we don't bow, we won't burn. They threw them three guys in there, all tied up. But when they got in the fire, they were walking around free. As a matter of fact, they thought it was so great to be in there with the fourth man. Nebuchadnezzar had to call them out. Hey, come out of there. Here they are in the fire, just walking around with the fourth man. They didn't care what was going on because they were with God.
Amen.
God was in their situation. And see, it doesn't really matter what the enemy or what the world throws against you. Whatever fire you might be going through right now, if you won't bow, you won't burn.
Amen. Thanks.
You need to hold on to God. Hold on to God in that situation. Don't look to what the world's doing. Don't compare yourself to what everybody else is doing. You just do what you know you should be doing. And be faithful to God. And the whole situation just turned around for them. And when they walked in that level of freedom, you know, they knew how their God had showed up on their behalf. And I do believe that people right now are going through some fiery situations in your life. I want you to say, to cry out for that fourth man. Hold on to him. And don't compromise your standards. Don't compromise. You know, it is a funny picture. I mean, I liked it. It used to be a picture of, it's on a t-shirt and it showed everybody bowing but three standing. I want to be one of those three, and I hope
Amen.
You do too.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Father. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for the anointing. Lord, I thank you. We know that we need to submit to authority, but also, Lord, we need to walk in obedience to you. Lord God, we put your word and your ways first in what we want to walk in. And Lord, we know that we're responsible for the decisions that we make. Lord, right now, I just thank you for your anointing to be here, Lord, to give us strength for those who are maybe walking through a fire right now, making a very difficult decision in their life, or things just ain't going the way that they need to be. Lord, I pray for that fourth man. That fourth man just to show up in their life big time. Lord, I thank you. We don't have to leave the fire, Lord. We thank you. You're there with us. We want to be where you are. And Lord, we know that you're glorified when we trust you. Lord God, we thank you for the power again of your Spirit just moving right here. Right here, right now. Lord, we thank you so much. But Lord, the main thing is that we come to know you. That Lord Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of God and that you rose from the dead on the third day. That you went to the cross and you paid the price for our sins. And we put our faith and trust totally in you. That Lord, we can go free. And we can walk in that enduring freedom for the rest of our life. I want to give opportunity here today.